Grace to you and peace in the name of our crucified and risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. As I read our gospel text for today, I couldn't help but think of the show that's on television right now called Undercover Boss. Some of you may be familiar with it, but in case you're not, it's a show in which each week the CEO or some other head honcho in a company goes undercover in his own company to work alongside the hourly wage employees or also the management too, to get an up close and personal look at how his company functions on a day-to-day basis from a grassroots level. The idea behind this is to get the bosses out of their ivory tower offices so they can see what their employees and their customers too think of their particular companies. The experiment is designed for the various bosses to learn from their employees things that they could do to make their companies better, both for the employees and for the consumer as well. The bosses enter this show to be learners, not teachers, to gain insight, not to give it. And I guess this is where the comparison with Jesus falls apart in our text. For Jesus, the Lord of the universe, the Alpha and the Omega, the King of heaven and earth, also went undercover, in a manner of speaking, as he appeared to the two disciples on the road to Emmaus on that Easter Sunday afternoon. Although they knew Jesus, they were kept from recognizing him as he joined them on the road. And as he asked them for the reason for their sorrowful mood, they began to tell him about the events that had taken place in the past few days back in Jerusalem. Events concerning this Jesus of Nazareth, who they said was a great prophet. A great prophet who they had hoped was the one who would redeem Israel. But he had been crucified by the Romans at the urging of the Jewish high priests or the chief priests. They also explained that Jesus' body was no longer in the tomb, and that there was confusion and disagreement about what had actually happened to Jesus. And it's at this point where Jesus breaks protocol with the show Undercover Boss. Instead of listening and learning from his workers, his disciples, now Jesus starts to teach them. The scripture states that beginning with Moses and the prophets, he explained to them all the things that had been written about the Messiah in the scriptures, and how it was necessary for the Christ to suffer the very things over which they were now mourning. I suppose it must have been a little like someone today going to visit Graceland, you know, up in Memphis, Tennessee, and being shown around the place by no less than Elvis himself, or a new worker at Epcot Center being taught the Disney way of doing things by Mr. Walt Disney, or perhaps a new Apple store employee being welcomed aboard by Mr. Steve Jobs. Even though they didn't recognize Jesus, yet they were being shown things in the scriptures that they had never seen and never heard before. Exciting things, amazing things, as if being taught by the author himself. And suddenly, everything was making sense. Even the things of which they formerly lamented. Suddenly Jesus' death on the cross was not a bad thing, but a good thing, a necessary thing, a world-changing, future-altering, life-giving thing. So much was this the case that it says that they listened with hearts and ears that were burning to know more. What an amazing conversation that must have been. What an amazing faith-affirming, scripture-opening lesson that must have been. They went into that conversation with the undercover Jesus, thinking that his death was about the worst thing that could possibly ever happen. And they came out of that conversation with Jesus, understanding that what had happened to him was actually the best thing that could have ever happened. For if Jesus had not died as the payment for our sin debt, we would not and we could not live with God in heaven in eternity. Our forgiveness rests solely on the death and the resurrection of Jesus. And thus it was necessary for us that Jesus died. By his sacrifice, we have been forgiven. What Jesus did for those two disciples as they walked together on the road on the way to Emmaus is kind of the same thing that God did for Job in the Old Testament after Job had lost his family and his home. Kind of the same thing that he did for Paul when he gave him a glimpse of heaven. Or for John, when he gave him the revelation at the end times. You see, what he did for them is he helped them to see the bigger picture. He expanded their view. He helped them to see this world and this life from God's perspective. And in each case, these people came away from those experiences empowered, energized, and changed. No longer were these two disciples downcast because of Jesus' death. Rather, now it says they were filled with an inexpressible joy because they understood its place in God's plan. More than that, not only was Jesus' death necessary, they now knew his death to be only temporary, for they had seen the risen Jesus with their own eyes. The grave could not hold him. Death could not keep him. Jesus was alive. There's that scene in the old Karate Kid movie, the scene we watched just before going into our sermon this morning, in which Daniel is getting very frustrated. You didn't see that part. I had to cut that out because there were curse words there. I didn't want you to have to listen to that in church. But where Daniel's getting really frustrated at Mr. Miyagi for having him do all of his chores around the house, waxing his car and doing the floor and all his painting and everything. It doesn't look like things are as they were promised to be, because he was promised that Mr. Miyagi was going to show him and teach him karate. And so, in his frustration, again, just prior to the scene, he starts to walk away. And that's when Mr. Miyagi finally shows him the method behind his madness. and the wisdom of his ways. He shows Daniel the bigger picture. And as you saw in Daniel's face, he suddenly gets it. And he's hooked. In the same way that these two disciples in our text were shown the bigger picture, and they were suddenly hooked. And they got up, and it was evening and nighttime. They ran back the 7 miles to get back to Jerusalem to tell the other disciples what they had heard and seen. I think a lot of times in life we get frustrated with God. And we go through periods like these disciples were, these periods of being downcast, because we don't see the bigger picture. We don't see our lives from God's perspective. And thus, every single time that we hit a bump in the road, you know, an illness or an expense or some kind of setback, we immediately get down and we think that God has somehow abandoned us or forgotten us or ignored us. But if we can only see the bigger picture, we can see that God is actually preparing us for glory. Jesus said to Paul, when he couldn't see the bigger picture, this is what Jesus said, "My grace is sufficient for you. For my power is made perfect in weakness." Paul reminded the Roman Christians as they faced life's struggles that God works in all things for the good of those who love him. The writer to the Hebrews reminded his readers that we should endure hardship as discipline, for God is treating us as his sons, that we might share in his holiness. As the disciples learn from their undercover boss, their Lord and Savior Jesus, they learn that no trial, no suffering, no setback seems pleasant at the time, but it can all be used by God. And indeed, it will all be used by God to bring about his glory and our good. To believe that, to trust that, to know that, is to see the bigger picture and will result in us being filled with an inexpressible joy. In the face of our trials, in the face of our sorrows, may we know that joy too, for the sake of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen.